If I have one regret in life, well, probably lots more because a life without regrets is a life not lived, but one of them is that I didn't understand just how exciting science could be. If I did understand, I might have done science. And look, where would I be now? Perhaps involved in genomic research. Joining me now to talk about that is Will Green. Will's a freelance journalist specialising in the health industry, and he knows a lot about what's going on. He's written a recent article, Asia's Coming Genomics Revolution. Will, thanks for joining us on Counterpoint.
Great to be here.
Well, you know, gone are the days, aren't they, when you looked at something made in Asia and thought this is cheap junk. Those days are gone, and Asia is now a powerhouse of lots of things. And in this case, the genomics revolution.
Yes, I would agree that Asia is certainly moving up the value chain in a lot of different industries. It is still somewhat new in genomics. So a lot of the major initiatives that I wrote about in the article you mentioned are only just happening in the last few years. So I think it still remains to be seen if Asia will contribute significantly to genomics research. But I will say, with all of the money that's going into it and with all of the talent that is increasingly flocking to this region, Asia has a big opportunity to play a major part in the coming genomics revolution.
Yes, well, I saw in your article the reference to precision medicine initiatives. It sounds like a sort of military weapon, doesn't it? A precision initiative. That the Chinese government could spend around $9 billion over the next 15 years. And by contrast, in 2015, Obama committed $215 million compared to $9 billion. It's a big difference.
It is indeed. And as an American, I would certainly love to see more public investment in genomics and precision medicine in my country. But the thing about science, if it's done right, is that wherever the benefits come from, they should ultimately extend to all of mankind, we hope.
Yes.
But before I go any further on that, maybe we should define what precision medicine exactly is.
Please.
Precision medicine is basically, it's a kind of a catch-all term for a type of medicine that really takes into account every individual's unique behavioral and biological attributes. And so genomics, which means the reading of your individual DNA, is a part of that. But it also encompasses things like how you behave, how you sleep, how you eat, all these kinds of things. And as the pace of technology innovation increases, we're increasingly gaining the ability to take all these factors into account when we prescribe a treatment or even a preventative medicine plan. So in the old days, it used to be that medicines would be designed to be safe in everybody and effective in some people. Hopefully in the future, medicines will be effective in everyone.
I'm talking with Will Green, freelance journalist specializing in health areas, on the genomics revolution in Asia. Now, some examples of the sorts of things that can now be done. You raised an interesting one about using blood samples to test for cancer in a way that previously you needed to have a biopsy. I mean, there's some things you can obviously tell from blood tests or expect to tell from a blood test. But how long has that technology where a blood test could replace a biopsy been around?
Well, there are already methods for testing bodily fluids in order to determine the presence or the potential for certain types of cancers. Those technologies have been around for years. In terms of what I was talking about in my story, the fact is there's just simply a lot of research going into this area right now. There is billions of dollars going into it because it is believed that we can develop tests that are much more sensitive and that can detect for a much wider range of cancers at a much earlier stage of development in a much less invasive way. So that is the dream that many scientists and researchers are pushing towards. I think that in terms of how far along are we, I think that it's still early days. But you know, hopefully in our lifetimes, in the next coming decades, it'll get to the point where you can take a blood test and really have a very good sense of what your risks are and whether or not you have anything growing inside your body that you might want to get checked out or treated.
Now, we mentioned China, but there are this is not restricted to China, is it? This is an Asian big interest across Asia.
It is. And I think, you know, China is coming forward with some of the biggest investments, both from the public and the private sector. But there are a lot of advanced economies in Asia that have the money and have the scientific talent to contribute to this field. So we're seeing things happening in Japan. We're seeing things happen in Singapore. And then there are also a lot of lower income, less developed economies where they might not be contributing as directly to the scientific research, but where the potential for DNA testing certainly it already exists to improve healthcare in those countries. And a lot of these countries, places like India, are places where certainly we need to do everything we can to improve healthcare. A lot of these countries have very challenged healthcare systems.
Will, often with science, we find that people of particular religious persuasions have some concerns. They, for whatever reason, say that their faith doesn't allow the intervention of science in one way or another. How does that play out in the Asian region?
Well, Asia is a very diverse place, and there are lots of different peoples with different religions, with different belief systems of many sorts. And what we're seeing is that in some areas, people are questioning, and I think rightly, just how to make the coming advances in genomics consistent with their faiths. I think that in general, we have to be respectful of people's belief systems, and we also have to be mindful that these new technologies give us powers that might make some people uncomfortable. And to be honest, it's about much more than religion. I mean, it's about ethics even more generally. So even non-religious peoples have serious questions about how we can use these technologies. And so I think that it's a good thing that many organizations and many individuals in Asia and globally are asking questions about what exactly should we do with these new powers that we are getting.
Indeed. I don't think I could agree more. I'm all in favour of science spreading ahead, but equally of mankind saying, well, now, hold on, we're actually in charge and we'll decide what is an appropriate use of this technology and not. Will, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Great being here. Thank you.